This is Agent Insights, sponsored by Garden State Mortgage, where we dive into real estate strategies and real stories to help real estate agents grow and thrive. Today's guest is someone who brings a deep understanding of not just how to sell homes, but how to connect with people. Andrew Ganji is a top producing real estate agent who's built his business by mastering the human side of the transaction. In this episode, we're exploring the psychology of real estate, from understanding buyer behavior to navigating emotional sellers and how to adjust your approach for every personality type. Andrew shares best practices to meet your clients where they are and build lasting relationships.
This podcast is for industry professionals and is not meant for or authorized for consumer distribution. It is for educational and entertainment purposes only and should not be construed as legal, financial, or real estate advice. The views and opinions expressed by guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the host, the podcast, its sponsors, or affiliates.
Let's get to it.
So Andrew, you've been licensed for about over a decade now at this point, right?
Yep.
I know that you have real estate in your blood. Why don't you tell me a little bit about how you got introduced to real estate and how you started in the industry?
Yeah, absolutely. So, and first off, thanks for having me on. This is very exciting. So I've been licensed for 10 years, but I feel like I've been an agent for 30 years.
Yeah.
Because I grew up in a house where my mom was like a power agent at the time, all the way through her career, really. So as a kid, I can remember one of my fondest memories with my brothers is like being at the table, the three of us sitting there, and my mother is, you know, cooking chicken cutlets, phone cord wrapped around her three or four times, and she's making sure we're getting lunch, but she's also like closing deals at the same time. And I'm like, wow, that's really cool. Like you can make money, have a business, and do it from like the comfort of your home or not really have a set schedule. But growing up, that, you know, that means I was always listening to the language of real estate, how you interact with other agents, how you interact with attorneys, how you interact with clients. So yeah, by the time I actually got licensed, I feel like I had already lived a life of like learning about real estate and
you've been through it already. It made it official, I guess.
Absolutely, right? So yeah, it definitely feels like it's in my blood. And I like to say, you know, I'm a second generation agent. And so by the time I really became an agent, I felt like so comfortable in the business, in communicating with others and really feeling like I knew what I was doing.
Yeah. How do you feel that your business has evolved over that time? How do you feel that things have changed as you've kind of crafted your own vision?
Yeah, so I certainly had to create my own path in the business, you know, especially when you are, you know, the son of an agent who is a very popular, well-known person, right? And there's other agents out there who have parents who have been in the business where you have to kind of create your own path, right? And prove yourself a bit. So over the years, I've really honed in on the fact that my business is extremely referral-based. Yeah. Right. So I work with people, I do a great job, they refer me to others, and it keeps building from there. And then more kind of hyper-focused has been like the luxury aspect of real estate and focusing on the higher price point properties that deserve a lot of attention and coddling and all that. So I do have a team of agents. I have a handful of agents that we work collaboratively, and I like to pass along some of maybe the under $1 million price point properties. I want everybody to be able to eat. So I want everyone working and learning and making money. But yeah, I mean, really just over the years, honing in on that referral basis.
Gotcha. Okay. So today we're going to talk a little bit, kind of going into what you were just talking about, a little bit about the psychology behind it. Now you have luxury, you have what you could call, I guess, a traditional under $1 million. Of course, what is luxury nowadays? $1 million isn't really, I don't think it's $1 million anymore, but you know, when it comes to anything with the psychology of it, it comes to emotions and motivations. You know, first off, what advice would you give agents about uncovering and understanding, you know, clients' motivations, what's going to make them, what's going to drive them to make decisions and whatnot?
So psychology plays a massive role in this business. You're dealing with a multitude of personalities at all times. And your job as an agent is to properly advise, right? But you have to understand what your client wants to give proper advice, right? So I'm always listening. I want to know what my client's needs are. What's the point of this purchase? What's the point of this sale? Where are you going next? What's your long-term goal, right? So how do we get you to that? And but at the same time, I think a lot of maybe newer agents might be reluctant to tell your client the truth. Mm. They have to be properly advised. You are a professional, right? I'm a professional agent. And literally on the way here, I had a conversation with a client that I just couldn't get behind the number he was willing to pay for the home. Mm-hmm. So for me, I have to say, hey, listen, I just don't see this working out well for you. And whether you want me to write it up or not, that's up to you. But me as an agent, I have to be upfront with you, right? So, but to kind of get back to the point of like personality, you have to understand your client's personality traits. You have to understand what they're going for, what makes them tick, mm-hmm. what interests them. You know, the higher end clientele have different expectations of you than maybe someone who's more run of the mill clientele that, you know, they have different expectations. They call you at different times. Mm-hmm. They communicate with you differently. Not everybody's a texter. Some people are callers. Some people are just emailers. So, but that all comes with time.
Yeah.
Time in the business, you understand the flow of things and how to communicate with others. Most days I feel like a therapist.
Yeah.
Right? Like I'm spending more time talking people off the ledge, letting them know it's going to be okay, and using little sayings like whatever happens is meant to be, stuff like that. But it's reality. And not every buyer or seller understands that yeah. until they experience it a bit and they go, oh, you know, that makes sense.
Gotcha. Yeah. So are you upfront with clients as far as trying to figure that out, as how they like to communicate, how they like to receive information, how they, you know, prefer things be handled? Or is it kind of a feeling that you get from your experience?
In the beginning, yes. Right. Now I'm very comfortable in the way I operate mm-hmm. that part of me dictates how things are going to go. Yes. And the other part of me is kind of malleable to how they like to be treated and handled. Mm-hmm. And it's a very case-by-case basis.
Yeah,
I've had some clients that are high-end clients, high net worth individuals, you know, calling me every single morning, 7:30 in the morning, whether it's just to shoot the breeze or to actually call me something of concern. But you build up that rapport with them. Right. You want to get to the level where you can joke around with them and let them lighten up a little bit
yeah.
and create almost a friendship. Everyone I work with, I feel like I treat them. I feel like it's necessary that I treat them like family.
Yeah.
Right. No one is just a transaction to mm-hmm. me. We'll stay in touch for forever. Most of my clients I'm in touch with forever, whether they just follow each other on Instagram, Facebook, watch each other's, you know, kids grow up, or we actually hang out and become friends. Yeah. But I treat each and every client that way. Like that's. I'm not in this business to just make money and move on to the next. Mm-hmm. I would have went into a different field. This is like a very much, you know, it's like a personal thing.
Yeah. Now, when it comes to, for us, it's very cut and dry in our industry, right? When it yeah. comes to real estate and mortgages, it's yeah. a house is a house. Obviously, there's details involved. So it's a very logical approach from our industries. How are you able to kind of work with certain clients as far as trying to introduce logic to the transaction? We know it's a very emotional process yeah. for a lot of people, like you said. You know, how can we introduce logic and manage their emotions and their expectations to kind of see a bigger picture as opposed to really being and taking everything personally?
Yeah. So again, I think the majority of clients that you know, have a level of intelligence to understand this person's not trying to hurt me. Mm-hmm. They're not trying to annoy me.
Yeah.
They're trying to advise me. And I can only force someone to take advisement. You know, it's up to them if yeah. they want to let it soak in and go, okay, this makes sense. Mm-hmm. Right. But one of the things I like to do is I like to paint scenarios for my clients, all the possible scenarios, so they can make informed decisions. I play devil's advocate all the time.
Yeah.
If you do this, there's a chance XYZ could happen. Mm-hmm. So I want you to be aware, are you willing to risk your outcome because X and Y have a high probability if you make this decision? So very forward thinking, you have to be thinking of what's going to happen next. Yeah. What's the possibilities in a transaction, whether you're a buyer or seller, every action has a reaction, right? So I like to paint the picture for them, lay it out there, sometimes in an elementary level way.
Yeah.
To say, hey, this is what's going to happen.
Just breaking it down.
Yeah.
yeah.
You decide what you like. Do you want to take a calculated risk or do you want to be a little more conservative? Mm-hmm. Whatever it may be, but you have to be honest with your client.
Yeah.
You have to tell them, even if it makes you look bad or it could kill the deal, You know, one of the things I always say to my clients is I don't work for money. I work for relationships. And because you build great relationships, then the money comes. So I don't make my decisions based off of commission.
Yeah.
What's best for my client? What's best for them? They're going to be happy. They're going to tell others. I'm going to get paid. Others are going to use my services. And then that's how you build a business.
Do the right thing. The rest will follow.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So when you're working with a seller, what's your strategy on trying to help them kind of overcome the emotion of, you know, moving on from a house that their kids grow up in and that they've lived in for the last 30 or 40 years? Because obviously it's a very different experience for a seller than a buyer. You know, is there anything that you are able to kind of help them with, or does everyone kind of process things differently?
Yeah. So again, like, first off, I want to understand, what is your motive? So if you're going to sell your house and you're maybe going to downsize or you're going to relocate, and, you know, it's funny, I sometimes run into this issue where I'll list a property and the marketing looks so good that the seller starts going, well, I don't know if I want to sell the house now because it looks so great. Right. But then I have to remind them, where do you want to be?
Yeah.
Do you want to be paying $30,000 a year in taxes for the next 5 years? Do you want to be opening up your pool? Do you want to be hiring your landscapers? Do you want all that maintenance and upkeep? Or, again, painting the picture, do you want to be in a turnkey condo?
Yeah.
And you pay $500 a month HOA, everything's taken care of for you. You go to your house in Florida, you lock the door, you leave it behind, and it's much less to worry about. Yeah. Right? So I'm always figuring out where they want to be, mm-hmm. and then painting the picture to remind them of what it's going to be like when they get there. Because everybody has these concerns. But then if I talk to any of my clients who had concerns that ended up where they wanted to be, if I talk to them 5 years later, mm-hmm. they go, it's the best decision I ever made in my life.
Yeah.
I love not having those high taxes anymore. I love having freedom. I love not having to mow the lawn. Whatever the objective is, they're going to realize. And listen, I don't particularly like to, I'm not an I told you so kind of person. Mm-hmm. I really don't care that much to be like, see, I told you, mm-hmm. I told you it was going to be like that. But I love getting the thank you for the I told you. Like, I like that. I don't ask for things, but I like when a client's like, you know, Andrew, you were right.
Yeah.
And that makes me happy because I genuinely did what was right for them. And now they're feeling it.
Whether they knew it at the time or not.
Exactly.
The realization's there. So how about for the buyer side? Obviously, it's a much different market for them.
Yeah.
You know, right now, generally in the area you serve, northern New Jersey, it's kind of always been the case, right? Since you've been in the industry. How do you kind of work with them to guide them through what can be a rather unforgiving market?
Yeah, so definitely a little different than working with sellers. My first question for a buyer is, how long do you plan to be here for? If this, you know, I think majority first-time home buyers are probably in their first home 5 to 7 years, mm-hmm. at least with like traditional statistics. Now everything has just changed. People are locked into places that mm-hmm. they maybe don't want to, they can't leave. But okay, if you're going to be a 5 to 7 year homeowner for your first home, we have to reassess what you're going to pay, what your expectations are, mm-hmm. because you can't pay a premium in this market and then move 5 years from now and expect to have all this equity built up.
Yeah.
It's just not going to happen. But if you're going to say, this is my dream home, I'm going to raise my kids here, I'm going to be here for the next 30 years, right? Now we're talking different story. So let's say, for instance, you're going to pay $1 million for the house, but you're going to be here for the next 30 years and you got to come up 50 grand. To make it happen, mm-hmm. or 100 grand, whatever the numbers are, I would advise, like, hey, listen, you're going to lose this over X amount of dollars when, again, paint the picture. Let's talk about the memories your kids are going to have growing up in this home, swimming in the pool, right? Whatever it may be, lifestyle costs money. So yeah, there's a number that you want to buy the house for, mm-hmm. and you don't want to lose it, and you can grow a family and create all these memories. But it's my job to say, like, do you really want to lose out on that over X amount of dollars when you know you can afford it and you do have principles, but you're letting that get in the way of what you can create? Because your primary home is, yeah, you want to build equity. It's not an investment property.
It's more than a home.
It's much more than a home. Yes, the memories that I'm creating with my children in my home, my wife and children in my home, is far more important to me than the equity that I'm building living there over the next 25, 30 years. And I try to instill that in the clients that I work with to paint that picture. Mm-hmm. Now, again, if it's 5 to 7 years, it's our first home, we're coming from a rental. Mm-hmm. You know, we hope that we can make a little money so we can move it on to the next house when we do get to that point. Then, yeah, the way I advise is going to be different and structured more towards getting them to understand that short term is going to be less potential gain. Yeah. Just the way it goes.
So going back to personality types, and you mentioned dealing with that and whatnot. Yeah. You know, how can you really assess an individual's personality and what's gonna work for them as far as you know, whether it's buyers or sellers? Because I assume you've seen the gamut from the nicest people on earth to, I assume, you know, maybe the craziest, maybe not. You know, but how do you kind of work with all of those, and sometimes on the same transaction, sometimes individuals who are buying together, like a husband and a wife, and they just have completely opposite personalities. How do you manage that?
So, I mean, I think that, you know, like I like to consider myself a very self-aware person, and I am always picking up on people's personality traits, how they communicate, how they carry themselves. So I'm just immediately kind of gaining intel when I'm communicating with my clients. Mm-hmm. And it's all stored in my head. I know this particular client's this way, his wife maybe is this way, or vice versa, whatever it may be. But I'm always mentally noting that. It's very important to me to know who I'm dealing with, what their personality is, especially if I'm dealing with like a divorce scenario, right? It's a really tough position to be in as an agent. You're representing both. Mm-hmm. You do not ever pick sides. You communicate with them, you know, together, mm-hmm. right? But one might, you know, one might be a little difficult. One might be easygoing. Sometimes they fight in front of you, right? Yeah. Whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. That's why we are like, the last thing I do is sell houses. That's like the easiest thing. I'm a mediator. I'm a therapist.
Exactly. The in-between then.
But again, an agent who hones in and really pays attention and then focuses on how they can utilize the intel that they have about their clients is going to do the best job at navigating this in this madness of a business that we're in.
Yeah.
You know, it's very much like a maitre d' or something like that. My job is to just make sure everyone's cool, everyone's being seated at the right time, and everyone's happy. And when you need water, I'm giving you water. Whatever it may be, like, that's why it's just like a constant, it's like a constant thing that I'm just always paying attention to, mm-hmm. that helps me really figure out my clients and how I should be communicating with them.
Yeah.
You know? But it's ever evolving.
Yeah.
Because personality traits are just always changing.
Yeah. And obviously something that comes over time and with experience. Can you think of any examples in particular, maybe one that you just kind of were able to overcome, you know, something in what we just spoke about that was able to kind of push things through, where you either had either unreasonable side on, you know, the seller or the buyer side? Anything that really stands out to you?
I want to think carefully, because like there's just always.
Maybe generally speaking, you can use very general terms for it.
I'll tell you this, you know, as an agent, it's a slippery slope, but when you do it properly, dual agency is a great thing. Mm-hmm. So I do a handful of deals throughout the year. I mean, more than a handful, probably 40% of my business is I'm on both sides, representing both sides. So without getting overly specific, I have many times run into situations where I'm representing a seller, representing a buyer. Buyer has specific needs. Seller has specific needs, mm-hmm. or expectations. And it's a delicate dance. But again, that's like when you're authentic, mm-hmm. with your clients, they will have a much easier time taking your advice. Right. So if I have a client who's on me about inspection related issues and the buyer has expectations, but maybe in this particular case, the buyer is also selling his house with me. Mm-hmm. And in this market, it's hard to have your cake and eat it too. So I just always remind my clients, hey, listen, like, I understand that this is upsetting you. And don't get me wrong. Like, I'm trying to do my best to represent you. I'm also representing the seller. Mm-hmm. But let's not forget that you're selling your house and the buyers of your house have to eat it. Right. So you're getting it over here. It's going to be hard for you to get it here. You have to understand that. This is just the way it goes, right? So just kind of coaching them through it and coming up with some type of solution that makes everybody happy.
Yeah.
And as an agent, like, you're always coming up with ways to say, okay, well, you know what, like, why don't you do this and you can do that and everyone will be happy and maybe I have to do this as the agent or whatever it may be. But I've certainly had clients that have high expectations that will make that very clear to me.
Mm-hmm.
But in a lot of cases, a lot of people are more bark than bite. So, like, they'll come off like, you better figure this out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, yeah, no problem. I got it, right? And if I get the solution done, but maybe it's not 100% the way the person wanted it,
mm-hmm.
I get them to understand, like, hey, listen, this is the reality of things. If you don't like it, then I'm sorry. I'm trying my best for you here.
Some give and take.
There's got to be some give and take, yeah. and a level of respect, mm-hmm. right? So I hope that answered your question. I'm not trying to elude telling any like particular stories,
too deep,
but you know, I don't know if they'll be listening. So yeah. Try to keep it.
So if you could give just kind of one piece of advice as far as, you know, for a newer agent, been in the business for a few years, you know, what would be one thing to focus on or one tool to focus on to, you know, really kind of either get back on track or ramp things up more quickly?
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're talking about a new agent who's trying to develop their business, the best thing you could do is shadow. Follow people. Watch how others do it. Mm-hmm. You know, I work for Keller Williams, my brokerage that I have my license at is Keller Williams, Valley Realty, and Woodcliff Lake, right? So I have a team, the Ganji Group. And Keller Williams is a company that's based around sharing information, tons of classes, right? So real estate, the real estate business is one that you get your license, you go to a brokerage, and then they go figure it out. Yeah. And nothing you learn in real estate school translates. I don't know how it is with mortgages, but like
same.
Nothing same. You learn. The math equations I had to learn.
On the job training, I guess, right? For the first few
exactly,
years.
Right. Yeah. So for me, I had on the job training my whole childhood.
Yeah.
Right. So I know that I was placed in this business at an advantage, mm-hmm. competitive advantage, right? But if you're a new agent, follow people, shadow people, host open houses, attend classes, spend that first year understanding you're not going to make any money. It's not about making money. It's about gathering intel, understanding the business, learning the process, right? And I'm sure we'll dive into mm-hmm. Process, which is something yep. that I've developed for agents. But yeah, like, just absorb as much as you can. Because
mm-hmm.
this is not you don't just make money in this business. It's not you're not getting a salary.
Yeah. It's almost like a paid training for the first year or so.
But if you link up with the right person that's willing to give you the info that you need, help you learn, and along the way throw you some clients mm-hmm. and help you develop your business, that is worth more than anything, more than those two or three checks or commissions or closings you could have had in your first year.
Mm-hmm.
Just learn as much as you can.
Yeah.
Sit open houses, meet buyers, buyers buy homes, buyers turn to sellers, sellers sell homes. And you wanna basically like corral them all as much as you can.
Yeah.
Right? That's how you build a business effectively mm-hmm. from the ground up. If you're a new agent, don't waste your money on running ads and you know, spending money on the internet to reel in cold leads because you don't have anything to back it up. You have no sales, you have no listings sold, you have worked with a few buyers maybe, right? So really build it grassroots, ground up, organically.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's how you build a referral-based business is organically.
Yeah. Gotcha. Right. So speaking of process, I know you spent a lot of time, a lot of resources on developing it's a kind of a program that's built around a few different tech platforms.
Yeah.
Why don't you kind of tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So even before I was in the real estate business, I was always very systematic. Anyone I ever worked for, I was always quietly documenting. How do they work? How do they communicate? How do they save things? How do they really structure it like a business where you can recall information well and you have templated things and all that? So like the first few jobs I had, I always was like just documenting things, mm-hmm. keeping track. Getting an understanding. So when I got into real estate, especially like initially was working with my mother, who was more old school, right? Yin and yang as far as mm-hmm. utilization of technology, yeah. Right? So
the old school vibe. I've seen her.
Yeah, but don't get it twisted.
And like, you can plug her. I guess you can call it show have. Or her social media.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah,
I'll put those links in the yeah. in the comments as well. She has her own massive following
yeah,
as well.
Yeah,
but
she does.
Yes, continue.
But the yin and yang is important actually in business. Just as a side note, like if you're, it's good to be a little old school. And you definitely have to be new school in this market, right? Yeah, so 100%. The old school, the street sense, how to get things done, how to negotiate, how to talk, how to extract information, mm-hmm. that's old school.
Yeah, people are people still. It's,
yeah, right? And that goes back to the emotion. Mm-hmm. But having the new school approach, a modern approach, utilizing technology, that is equally as important in this market, mm-hmm. in a very competitive, more youthful market, we'll call it. So as far as process goes, I've always documented how I've been running my business, growing my business, mm-hmm. How I communicate with attorneys, with other agents, with my own clients, how I onboard information, whether it's buyers, sellers, doing CMAs, you know, home valuations, logging people in open houses, right? Managing my team, managing my virtual assistants, how I train them, how I give them daily, weekly transactional tasks, my posting on social media, my branding, all of that, I was able to kind of package into something that I feel comfortable because I operate in a referral-based business and I really, truly feel that you can share your secrets with others. It's going to help other people and I think that's a great thing. So I packaged it up and I was like, you know what? I'm going to start speaking at the offices and our Bergen County partners. We have like a 5 main offices, I believe, and some satellite offices. Get me in front of 30, 40, 50 agents at a time and let me talk to them about what I've developed that they can instill in their business. And me as an agent, I have signed on to so many programs. I've paid for so many things. And even in that process of doing that, I'm like, you know what? I didn't like how they onboarded me. I didn't like that I had to do so much legwork. So I developed something called Process, which you could just go to andrewganji.com. Mm-hmm. Or AndrewGangiProcess.com, either or. And it has all the information there. But essentially, it is something that I've packaged together that I implement directly into an agent's business, building them out all the systems, all the models, providing them with all the templates, all the know-how to really run a structured real estate business like a true business.
So someone who has something to build off of can really kind of leverage up much more quickly with Process.
Absolutely, yes. But also smaller teams, kind of teams like mine, right? 5 agents in total. You know, I think there are plenty of teams out there that don't have a systematic approach. They don't have a way for their agents to all be in communication with each other. Mm-hmm. They're not utilizing platforms for task management, right? So that is all aspects of Process has kind of like collected all those different, right? So I utilize lead capture with Jot Forms, mm-hmm. right? So I've built out all these custom lead forms that I could use to onboard buyers and sellers and open house leads that integrate with Monday.com. So I built out all these custom boards on Monday.com. Yeah, Monday is fantastic, right? So I built out all these custom boards on Monday.com that are all templatable, right? So I'm able to transfer them to another person. Mm-hmm. They can operate right in there. It's perfect for them. Keller Williams also has his proprietary CRM called Command, mm-hmm. right? So within Command, and Command has a few different components to it. One of them being the opportunities component. So you can actually track your business and see where your transactions are, what stage they are in the game. So what I did was I said, okay, well, as an agent, there's not 5 to 10 little things you do for each transaction. There's like 80 to 100 things you do. And when do I do them? At what stage in the game am I doing them? So I literally created a timeline of like from when I meet a client to when I get paid. Mm-hmm. What goes on between? And it's like a timeline. I look at a transaction linearly from left to right. And I said, okay, well, beginning of a transaction, these are some of the stages. And then in the midst of the transaction, these are some of the stages. And then as you're approaching closing, those are some of the stages, right? But within each of those stages is a set of checklists. Mm. So I developed all these different checklists. And then within those checklists, they'll point to say, okay, well, you're going to use Canva now, or you're going to use Monday now, or you're going to use JotForms now. So it's like literally just like follow along. And a lot of it is what we already know. in our heads, but like, how can you grow a business when you're relying on your memory?
Yeah, if you're not tracking everything.
No, there's just too much to worry about in this world that we're living in and the business that we're in.
Yeah.
You cannot rely on memory. You will inevitably forget things, right? And what separates a good agent or a great agent from a subpar or just a decent agent is the attention to detail. Do you think if I have someone who wants to spend $2 million to work with me, if I continuously forget something, they're going to be excited to work with me? Yeah. Absolutely not. They don't have time for that. It's my job as the agent to manage everything. So I have all my back-end systems in place. It allows me to not make those mistakes or fumble at all.
Yes.
Right? So to kind of wrap up the point on process, as far as the demo, you know, the demo it's for, it's really, it's for everybody, but it's for people who are producing, who are doing business, but like are just maybe at a plateau. They're finding it hard to get to that next level. And they might want to be systemized or have all these systems in place. They most likely don't have the know-how of like how to, you know, it took me years, but also months to create process. How do I create something that's transferable to others, understandable by others right off the bat, creating all these guides and these explainer videos and all that. But even if you could come up with 34 custom boards for Monday.com and 16 branded forms on JotForms and whatever it may be, do you have the time to do it? Yeah. Most likely not. So that's why I said, I'm going to develop something that not only I can transfer to others, but I can integrate it for them. So it's done, right? And then once it's complete, we have those success consultations where we sit down and talk about each facet of what I instilled in their business, how it works for them, and how they're going to utilize it moving forward.
Yeah.
And not to, you know, to direct them from not going back to old habits. Right? Because once you get into it, it's like creating a new habit, right? It takes, what is it, like 3 weeks or a month or something. Once you create a new habit, that's your new habit. It's much harder to go back once it's set in stone. This is how I operate now. So I'm very much like that. I operate very specifically. And as you grow your business and you have a little more bravado about it, like you can let your clients know this is how I operate. And they will respect that. Because you have a system in place and this is how you run your business. No one's going to dictate to me how I run my business.
Yeah.
It's the way I run it. And if you don't like it, then maybe this relationship wasn't going to work out anyways.
Yeah.
So for me, if I'm onboarding a new client, I send them a link. Hey, do you mind filling this out? I want to get you onboarded as a new buyer. We'll get you into our system. We'll set you up on an auto prospect and a few other things along the way. If you're giving me pushback on just filling out a simple form, then this wasn't going to work anyways. Yeah. So I'm almost glad that I figured
it out now
than down the line. When you call me and say, oh, by the way, my wife's cousin's best friend's aunt is a realtor. I think she's just going to do it from here. Like, okay, great. Thanks.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, have your systems in place. But what process does is it instills those systems for you.
Yeah.
So you can follow along.
So having the process, I think, would be kind of your one thing. If you were going to, if you were an agent really trying to take, you've hit your ceiling, you're trying to take it to that next level.
Yeah.
Process is your one thing.
Yeah, because in the real estate world, there is so much being thrown out there, right? Whether it's lead generation, everyone's talking, you know, always got to talk about, you got to be generating leads, you got to be generating leads. Great. That's certainly important. I'm not downplaying that. Maybe it's your follow up, or maybe it's door knocking, or maybe it's just like rah rah getting you excited. Like if you have a positive attitude, positive things are going to happen. And those are all important part of the recipe to be a successful agent. But the least talked about thing is an agent's process. How they run their business, what tools are they using, and how are they using them, and at what point are they using them? And do they have a game plan, right? So that is what I think is the missing link.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm so like excited about speaking to more agents, getting them onboarded, getting them to just like enjoy using a system in general. And then the fact that they're like, I have agents out there using a system that I kind of created. You know, I don't like to like give myself like more credit than I deserve, but like it's pretty cool that like agents out there are like, Andrew, I love this. Like, I can't believe I'm missing out this whole time. Agents that are like superior to me in the business, been doing this much longer, do great numbers, sell a lot of homes. They're just like that missing thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm super excited about like continuing to expand that and speak at more offices and connect with agents who are missing that.
Gotcha.
And they don't even know it.
And speaking of Connect, I know you mentioned your website, andrewganji.com. How can people find you on social media? Where are you active?
Yeah, so as far as the real estate business goes, it's at the Ganji Group.
Okay.
Or my personal Instagram is at Andrew Ganji. Mm-hmm. That is really where you'll see like me as a person, right? A father, mm-hmm. a husband, someone who loves Seinfeld and Curb Enthusiasm, someone who's still holding on to playing sports like golf. I play in a baseball league. That is where you'll see me as the person, mm-hmm. right? And that to me is more important. Hire me as the person,
yeah,
right? Because, you know, at the Ganger Group, the Instagram, that just shows where we are business. We're selling homes. Exactly. Yeah. Like, that's great. If you want to see how much production I do, great. Go to my Instagram at the Ganger Group, mm-hmm. and you'll see that we're listing homes and selling homes, and we do a great job and all that. But I would rather someone fall in love with the notion of working with me, because then I know, like, this is going to be on a personal level, mm-hmm. right? And, yeah, and then AndrewGanger.com is for process, mm-hmm. and theGangerGroup.com is where you can look at our listings, our sold homes, our marketing. Inquire there. If you're looking to buy or sell, that's the site you're going to visit. And if you're an agent, you go to andrewganji.com.
All right, perfect. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for joining us. And we look forward to seeing what you're up to.
I appreciate you having me on here. And I'm very much looking forward to seeing when this is done. Awesome.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.